Let's just pray for a moment. Just going to invite God's Holy Spirit. We know he's here, but I'm going to ask each of us that want to make it a personal invitation that he would come and minister to us. So we pray, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit and make Jesus real to us here and now. And as Jesus visits us in this room, which he is doing, may we know the reality, Lord Jesus, of your touch on our lives, of your word into our hearts and our spirits, of your healing power and of your saving grace. Amen. We sang one of our songs about God's unfailing love. I just want you to think about that word unfailing. It means it won't fail. It's not rocket science. It means his love won't fail. But I wonder how often we really, really remember that and allow God to speak it into our hearts. So that means it doesn't matter what we've done or who we are or how we think we might have failed God. There's probably no might about it. His love is unfailing. He doesn't stop loving us. Not one iota, not one jot, not one little bit does he stop loving us. So we have a God, the creator of this universe, the creator of every one of us. We have a God whose heart is first and foremost a heart of love and a heart of healing. That's our God. So this morning is not about what we have done or can do or could do or haven't done for God. It's what he has done and is doing for us. That's this morning. But we have a God who has a heart of love and a heart of healing. And he shows us that no more powerfully than in Jesus. When Jesus came to earth, we see Jesus, we hear Jesus, we read about Jesus. He does a couple of things which we've adopted as our vision or as our aspiration as a church. And what Jesus did was he declared to people that there was a new kingdom at hand. A new way of doing things, a new way of living, a new way of thinking. He declared that to people. But you know, people then and people now were tired of talk with no action. Let's face it, we see it from many, many of our politicians time and time again, and we're tired of talk with no action. If we're honest with ourselves, there'll be people outside who look on at Christians and get sick of Christians for talk and no action. Jesus was never about talk with no action. So when Jesus came to earth, we certainly do hear him declaring the reality and the truth of the kingdom of heaven, but we also saw him demonstrate that. Demonstrate it on earth, demonstrate it in the lives of real people. And that's what he wants to do now, today, here. We have a God who wants to show to us his heart of love, his heart of healing, not just in words, but in actual fact, in reality. He wants to touch our lives. He wants to change our lives. That's why he's here. It's about grace. And most preachers, me included, find it really tough talking about grace. Now, grace, if you're a visitor here, if you're not a Christian, if you don't know, grace is about all that God gives us. Not because we deserve it. We don't deserve it. Because he loves us, he gives us so much. That's his grace. And most preachers, when they talk about grace, can't help but to stray into other areas, which somehow implies, but you've got to do something to earn it. You don't have to do anything to earn God's grace. You can't do anything to earn God's grace and favor. He loves you. And his heart for you and for me and for us is for healing, for wholeness, and for life. He has a heart for healing for the nations. He has a heart for the healing of communities. And he has a heart for the healing of individuals. And that's where he starts. That's why Jesus came down as a man, as an individual who ministered to individuals. And as individuals are changed and made whole and healed, so they become ambassadors and agents of his grace. And then we see communities change. And then we start to see change going wider and wider afield as the kingdom starts to take root, as people like you and me understand God's grace and begin to experience that declaration and that demonstration of God. He has a healing heart. Primarily, that begins on the cross. We've just celebrated Easter, and we remember that Jesus died for us. And when he died for us, he took everything from us that was a barrier between us and God. He dealt with it. So there is now no barrier between us and our Father. None at all, because Jesus took it, he died, he dealt with it. But he proved that he'd done all that, not by staying dead, but by coming to life. He was resurrected. He defeated death. And everything he said he'd do, he did. And he's here now, by his Holy Spirit, in power to heal, to love, to meet with us. So let's just, in our own minds, as we're listening, as we're thinking, as we're praying, let's say, Lord, please, meet with me. Meet with me now. Meet with me not where I think you should, but where you know you need to. Very different things. So we're inviting God into our lives to meet with us and to do with us what he wants. Not what we might think, what he wants. Now, there's no better place to start and understand God's heart for us than Mark's gospel. We see Jesus in Mark's gospel sort of hit the scene like a whirlwind of love and healing and grace. That's what it is. And before I read any individual bits, Jesus first comes and he says in Mark's gospel to who become his first disciples, to people, basically to anyone who'd listen, it would seem, he says, he proclaims the good news of the kingdom of God. He says, the kingdom of God, God's presence, a different way of doing things, is actually at hand within your grasp. It's here. That's what he started. Then no sooner had he said that, and I'm only in chapter 1 of Mark's gospel at the moment, by the way, it says, Jesus goes straight out and he heals somebody with an evil spirit. Bang, done. Then he moves straight on and it says, Jesus heals many. He came to Simon Peter's mother-in-law. She was ill in bed with a fever. Healed her. He went out and it says, many people, it says the whole town gathered who had various diseases and sicknesses and ailments and stuff like that. And it says, he healed them all. Just matter of fact. And then he just moved on, having healed them. And he then came upon a man with leprosy. And this man knew his need. This man fell to his knees and said to Jesus, he said, if you're willing, please heal me. And Jesus just said without a second breath, I'm willing. You're healed. Job done. And then he moved on and he comes across a person, it says, who was paralytic, a paralyzed person. And he healed him. And then he moves on and he keeps moving on. And we read he comes across more people who are really disturbed by evil spirits. And he heals them. And then he moves on. He's like up in the ante now because he comes across a dead girl. And he raises her from the dead. And then a sick woman. We're still only in the early chapters of Mark. And he heals the sick woman. I could go on all the way through Mark. And we see Jesus demonstrating the love and the healing and the power of this kingdom which he has declared. Because that's what Jesus came for. To make us whole, to heal, and to give us life. That's what it's about. That's his grace, his equipping of us. Let me just read a couple of these passages. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand and helped her up. The fever left her. That's it. At sunset, people brought to Jesus all of the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He drove out many demons. And I often wonder when I speak to many people who are Christians and they've come from a different Christian tradition than me. And I wonder, how have they missed what was such a core part of Jesus' ministry? And we treat this like religion, or we treat it as though we could do something for God. And he's saying, just come and receive my grace. But as we read through a number of these stories of healing, we notice some different features. For instance, in that one, people told Jesus that someone was sick, and he just went straight to this person and healed her. So they told him, and he went. We read another one, or I referred to it there, where somebody who is sick comes up to Jesus and says, if you are willing, will you heal me? And Jesus says, of course I'm willing. That's my heart for you, to see you whole and healed and experiencing life in all its fullness. There's another story where Jesus comes to somebody, it's in John's Gospel, chapter 5, and somebody who's just begging, who's paralyzed, and this person says to Jesus, will you heal me? And Jesus notices something about them, and he says, do you want to get well? What a strange question. But I'm going to ask it of everybody in here. If you have an ailment, if you have something that's a compulsion, something of an addiction, a sickness, anything like that, are you hearing Jesus say to you, do you want to get well? Because, you know, that can be a problem. Sometimes we get used to the way we are. We get used to what comes along sometimes with a particular ailment or a particular weakness or a particular addiction, whatever it is. And while we say we want to be healed inside, we're actually frightened of that very thing. So if there's anybody here today who feels as though Jesus is saying to them, are you sure you really want to get well? Or have you become so used to being unwell that you wouldn't know what to do? Please listen to his words, because as soon as you say yes, as that man in John 5 said yes, Jesus healed him, released him to a new life, a radically changed life, and a better life. Because that's his heart. That's his heart for us. And that's what he demonstrated, and that's what he preached, and that's what he proclaimed. We could also go to John's Gospel in chapter 11, a well-known story where Jesus raises a friend of his, Lazarus, from the dead. And this isn't new to most people here. I know that. It's not meant to be new. It's meant for us to just stop and say to Jesus, where do I need you to minister in grace in my life? And then say, Lord, come and do it, please. And let's let him work. In the story of Lazarus, after Jesus had raised him from the dead and the stone in front of the tomb where he was opened, Jesus said these words, go in and take off his grave clothes. So Lazarus was alive, but he'd been bound in the things that were put round him at death, the grave clothes, and he still couldn't move because he was alive and the grave clothes were still there. So Jesus said, go and take them off him. And then once they took him off him, out he popped. And I sometimes wonder about us. Things that have happened to us in the past have become our grave clothes. And even though we have experienced new life in Jesus, we've been to the cross, we know him, we are still somehow bound and in that place we don't want to be because we haven't had the grave clothes removed, or we haven't wanted to have the grave clothes removed. So maybe today we want to hear the words of Jesus that he said to his friends when they were looking at Lazarus, go and remove the grave clothes. Now there's something important there. He didn't say to Lazarus, remove your own grave clothes. He said to those who were with him, go and remove them. So maybe we need to ask somebody for prayer to actually have done with these things that are doing us over. To have done with these things that bind us and prevent us from fully living the life that Jesus won for us on the cross. I was thinking about healing. This message came about in a strange way, really. I'll tell you about it. I got up Friday night, I told Linda, it's very rare. In fact, I don't know if it's ever happened. I've actually been woken from sleep with a pain. I had a pain in my right arm, and it was quite painful. Pains can be. And it woke me, and I couldn't get back to sleep. And I was a bit concerned because it was in the same side of my body as I had me, whatever I had, blood thing, aneurysm, that's it. And, of course, you know, when you have a pain that you can't explain, then your mind tends to, you know, oh, is it related? You know, is it a thrombosis? What's happening? So I got up. Like that would help. So I got up, and I did this a bit, and I did this a bit just to make sure, and I did that a bit, and everything seemed okay, but there was still a pain. And I was in the kitchen making a cup of hot water. That's a rare occurrence. And I really sensed God say to me, Adrian, I've got you up. I've got you up. If we knew the tune, we'd sing along. It's all right, George. It's fine. I sensed God say to me, Adrian, I've got you up because I've got a message for you, because I didn't have anything to preach. I've got a message for you, so start reading your Bible and away you go. So I read my Bible and I prepared a message for today. It's on that laptop. Prepared a message. And when I came in, Nathan said to me, because him and I have a bit of a deal going on, and Nathan said, I don't want it on. No, I don't want it on, Dan. I'm not using it. Nathan said to me, he says, so are you preaching on healing or not? I said, no, I'm not. No, I've got something else. And I went upstairs into the prayers before church, and two of the prayers were specifically about Jesus being here to heal today. And I thought, oh no, here we go. And I came down and I was battling a bit because I thought, I've got nothing on healing other than what I'm trusting God to give me. And then I just knew God says, it's healing. I want to heal people. I want to heal people here today. I want people to know that I'm a God who heals. So I nipped up while Nathan was leading worship and said, Nathan, I'm preaching on healing. And he smiled. So there's not a lot to say other than we have a God of unfailing love whose heart is for healing and for wholeness. And whether somebody tells somebody else or so-and-so's ill, it doesn't matter. Whether you say to Jesus, I'm ill, I want your healing, it doesn't matter. Whether you still feel as though, or you know, you are still bound by things from the past that represent to you grave clothes, and you know you're not living the full life that Jesus has for you, it doesn't matter. Just ask for prayer, because he is here to heal. Question is, do we want him to? How much, this, hear me out, because this will sound like a strange question. How much are we prepared to pay for Jesus to heal us? Or put it another way around. What are we prepared for the cost to be for healing? Now, is turning to somebody in our left or our right and say, I've got this, would you heal for me? Is that too high a cost for you? Is coming to the front and saying, I need to ask this of the church, pray for me for healing, is that too high a cost? Where will it stop for you? I hope nowhere. I hope you will just do as Jesus prompts. And if somebody comes up to you, now, God gives us gifts of the Holy Spirit, words of knowledge. We've had a really blessed time over the last couple of Sunday nights when we've had Open to God, where people have been given words of knowledge and words of wisdom and spoken things into people's lives that they couldn't possibly have known. But God has told them and said, say this. And that has released something, or it's resulted in healing, or it's resulted in people having to think far, far more deeply about what God is doing in their lives. And I believe today that might happen. I believe it will happen because people here have those gifts. So how would you feel if somebody came up to you and said, I believe God is saying this, and they just spoke into your life? That happens. We expect that to happen. That's why God gives us these gifts. So I think rather than me speak for too long, we really ought to just have a time and allow God to work, and allow God to heal, and allow God to prompt us. Now, at the most basic level, if we're here today and we are not a Christian, we have never reached that stage in our lives where we have recognized and realized that Jesus died for me. And we've never responded to that and said, Lord, here I am. here's my life. I don't fully understand it, but here you are. Or some variant of that. If we've never done that, then maybe that's a great place to start, because we have a God who loves us, who has only our best at heart, who only wants to give us full life. He wants us to be who we are created to be. If God prompts you to ask somebody to pray for you, ask them. If God prompts you with a word of knowledge to speak to somebody, then do it sensitively and with grace. Let's pray. Let's invite God. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, I believe you are here to heal us today. As we're waiting on God, I think there are two subtleties I want to talk about, two ways in which God might want to heal. The first, which we see in the Bible, is he delivers us from things. In other words, he can deliver us from a sickness. You know, he takes it away. Deliver us from a spiritual oppression. He takes it away. That's one way in which God heals. He takes away the ailment, the sickness, the spirit. There are other areas in our lives where the way God heals us is he gives us victory over them. He doesn't take them away. He gives us victory over them. And we see that in Scripture as well. And God will work in both ways. So we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would move freely just around this building now and in your church, your people, and release us to you. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, give us your spirit of truth and honesty before you.